places you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Android App Arena is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Android App Arena Episode 9 for Friday, August 22nd, 2014.
The Frankenphone.
This episode of Android App Arena is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is the best way to buy and manage domain names. It's simple, honest, and easy to use. For 10% off your first purchase, go to Hover.com and enter promo code ARENA8. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Android App Arena. I'm your host, Jason Howell, and this week, I'm happy to say that we have some fantastic new apps to dive into, as well as a great guest coming up. I'm super happy to bring Francisco Franco, the developer, not the dictator, onto the show to talk about his work improving the speed and performance of Android devices worldwide. Very cool stuff. But before we get to that interview, how about I show off a hodgepodge of new apps that can help you transform your phone into the Frankenphone? Now, I've noticed a few new apps materialize before my eyes over the past few weeks, and as they fell into place, I realized that one could customize their phone in three key ways with these apps, making their device that much different if they so choose. So this week, let's take a look at three different ways you can customize from your home screen to your lock screen to your notifications drawer. First up, what better way to transform your device into something new than with a replacement launcher? And the folks at Clinker Apps, creators of such popular apps as Talon for Twitter and Evolve SMS, have a new launcher replacement called Blur. It takes the foundations of Google's own Google Now launcher and adds an interesting developer-focused twist. Now, at first blush, it looks just like Google's launcher with added tweaks that we've come to expect out of custom launchers, things like custom grid settings, scrolling effects, custom icon support, and of course, OK Google hot word detection support. But on the Google Now launcher, a swipe to the left from the home screen brings you into Google Now's cards panel. With Blur, that takes you into what Clinker calls Pages. These are customizable screens that enable developers of other apps to integrate their apps into the launcher in powerful ways. This is not without precedent, mind you. Dash Clock widget hinged much of its power around third-party developer support, and thanks to its effective approach, developers hopped on board, making it incredibly rich to use. Clinker is hoping for that same kind of pickup from developers, and if that happens, this could be the launcher to watch. As it stands, Clinker gives you access to pages like this one called Blur Info that looks a lot like Google Now and surfaces much of the same kind of data like calendar appointments, the weather, and more. There's also a simple calculator page built in. And with one of Clinker's other apps, in my case, Talon, installed, you can get a sense for what a third-party app that supports Blur might be able to do, and it looks very promising, though it does require you to download yet another app through the Play Store to make that connection work. Clinker says this is a restriction of the Android OS that limits paid packages from running outside code, but it definitely blurs the process a bit. Pun unfortunately intended. Anyways, it's a take on launchers and worth checking out. Blur Launcher is currently free through the Play Store. Secondly, let's mess around with the notifications pane, shall we? How about an app that analyzes the apps you use most and then surfaces those app icons into a bar that's accessible through your notifications drawer? Pretty neat, huh? That's part of what Hangar Smart App Shortcuts does. Once you set up Hangar, the app will begin a log of the amount of time you spend using any apps installed on your device. Over time, you can watch this stats page fill up with your usage history. This information is key to how Hangar manages and organizes your app icons in the notification drawer. You can customize its actions in the settings to tweak how the icons are sorted, but of course, the power of the app comes by having it sort by total time spent using the app. The thought being that the apps you use most are always front and center, ready to be clicked. If you always want a particular set of apps to appear, you can pin any app to the drawer, turning it into a dock of sorts, a dock in your notification drawer. If you don't like the look of Hanger shortcuts, just download an icon pack from the Play Store and link it to Hanger for a fresh look and feel. And Hanger also provides you with a few home screen widgets that are useful for turning your home screen into a smart icon shifting layout that always shows your most used apps at the top. It's a simple app, but has enough customization options to allow you to dial it into your preference. And you have to be willing to give up a slot on your notification drawer for this, so keep that in mind. Some people won't be willing to do that. It's free through the Play Store with the option to donate within the app, so check it out for yourself. And finally, let's take a stab at the lock screen. If you ever get to feeling like you just aren't doing enough to keep your brain sharp and on point, why not turn your lock screen into an SAT exam? Sounds fun, doesn't it? Okay, maybe not quite the same thing, but HiQ Lock Screen does aim to make you smarter every time you unlock your device. HiQ is a replacement lock screen that, when launched for the first time, allows you to pick from a number of different knowledge packs. Choose wisely, as you only get one for free to start. Those packs include questions on math, trivia, engineering, and vocabulary, and range from elementary to college doctoral level. Once you've chosen your poison and lock your device, the next time you turn your screen on, you'll be presented with a lock screen and question, along with four answers that appear when you tap and hold on the lock screen icon. Drag to the correct answer and blammo, you're in. And with every successful answer, you get virtual coins that can actually be redeemed for more question packs if you save up enough of them over time. And have no fear if you need to get into your device in a hurry. Quick unlock mode will skip it all and take you right to your home screen. Take that, SATs. Now, collecting coins for the extra question packs does take time. So if you just want maximum smartitude, it's $2.99 to unlock all categories. But check it out for free to start. That's HiQ Lock Screen, H-I-Q, in the Play Store. All right, so there you go. Three newish apps that, if installed together, will transform your device into something that even Frankenstein would be envious of. Maybe. I don't know. You'll have to ask him. All right, before we move on, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that's Hover. Now, when you have a great idea, you want to secure a domain name for it. You want something catchy, something memorable to represent your online identity. And Hover gives you exactly what you need to get the job done. You're going to find the perfect domain for your idea so you can get started on it right away. Right now, Hover is having a sale on all new domain extensions through September 1st. The sale is for new and existing customers. Summer's the perfect time to start a new project. Every single new domain is deeply discounted, so you can choose whatever you'd like, .club, .ninja, .guru, just about anything. Hover takes all the hassle and friction out of registering a domain. It gives you easy-to-use, powerful tools to manage your domain so that anyone can do it. You can get the perfect domain name and start building your web presence right away. Hover offers a valet transfer service to make the process completely painless. For free, Hover will take care of the entire process for you and let you know when your domains are settled in your Hover account. They'll transfer all your DNS settings, no matter how many domain names you have. It's no additional cost. If you ever need it, Hover has the best customer support around. It's known for its no wait, no hat, no hold, no transfer phone service. When you call, a real person is ready to help. They're going to pick up when you call. Hover now offers volume discounts. They'll give you a discount on your domain renewals, starting at just 10 domains and then going up in value from there. The idea, of course, is the more domains you have in your account, the less you have to pay to renew them. So here's what you can do. Visit Hover today to register your domain name for 10% off your first purchase. Take advantage of their summer sale. Go to hover.com and use our promo code ARENA8. And we thank Hover for their support of Android App Arena. All right, now speaking of building the Frankenphone, one fantastic way to do that is to root your device. Root, of course, is a process that should definitely be done only once you really understand the impact of doing so to your device, but essentially it gives you unfettered access to parts of your phone that are normally locked away for security purposes, usually due to carrier and manufacturer restrictions, but there are other reasons for that, of course. We'll touch on that process and the benefits of that on a future episode, but today I'd like to talk to someone who's brought a lot of happiness to the Android Root community over the past few years. I want to welcome to the show Francisco Franco, developer of the Franco kernel. How are you doing today, Franco?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm super, super pumped to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
Well, no worries.
Awesome.
I'm happy that you're happy.
Fantastic. Then we're all happy, apparently. So first of all, Franco, you're probably most known for your work with the Franco kernel. For those who aren't aware, take a minute to explain what motivated you to develop in this space and what exactly the Franco kernel is.
So for now, Franco kernel is a big project, mostly for Nexus phones. Recently for the OnePlus One, because it's almost a Nexus at some sort. But before I go there, it's basically a kernel replacement for those phones. I get kernel source code from Google, and then I do my own modifications and ship it to XDA developers and through my app so that people have more control over their phones, over their CPU, GPU, and some other features. And at the end, my goal is that people are happier about their phones. They feel more freedom, and they have more battery, more performance. And they're happy, and I'm happy as well. So
the title of the episode really should be happiness, because apparently it's a theme here. now, of course, you know, we've talked to developers on the past on the show, and app development and kernel development are two completely different beasts that I have to imagine come with their own set of unique challenges. Most developers that are watching this show are probably familiar with the challenges of developing apps, I would imagine. What would you say are a few of the main pain points when you're developing something like the kernel, something that's so critical to the underlying system?
So the kernel is huge. It's composed by a lot of different components. And the biggest challenge, I guess, is that if you start in one point, like a subsystem like audio or video or CPUs, you start somewhere and then you start tinkering with it. And then after a couple hours, you end up in other end of the kernel and doing something else because you found a bug previously. Then you go down that route and 10 hours after and you're messed. But also bigger pain is that we don't have hardware data sheets from all the vendors. So, for example, if you want to mess with the sound driver, you have to go manually and see what each component does or each register, or just go one by one and hope for the best. So that's a big challenge sometimes. Or sometimes you don't understand the code that LG or HTC done or some other third-party vendor. So that's a big challenge.
Yeah.
For example, I've been trying to work with a HTC One M8 kernel, but even for the Google Play Edition device, I've been having problems getting Wi-Fi to work because the code is a mess. Everything is mismatched everywhere between Android and the kernel, and then it's hard.
Man, I can only imagine you're basically reverse engineering what's there right now. Is it just you that's picking these apart? Because it sounds like such a manual process. Or do you have people that you're working with that kind of make it easier? Or you really just have to spend hours and hours yourself going piece by piece and figuring it out?
Well, there's two points in there. I do everything by myself. I don't have anyone helping me. But sometimes there are other developers that have done other works, and I can look what they've done, and either I can just do something called a cherry pick where we can grab the code but still maintain all the credits for the developers, or you can read the code and learn from what they have done and you can do something else based on that code. So it's not just me. There's a bunch of other people that contributed, even users helping me. So my user base is so big that they help me a lot, either bug reporting or sometimes someone gives me an idea or they build a couple of patches for me. So in the end, it's a community work.
That's awesome.
I guess.
And I think the next few questions kind of reflect that. So we might as well dive into those. You don't just develop the Franco kernel. Of course, you're also a contributor and advisor of sorts to the Paranoid Android team. Paranoid Android, for those who don't know, it's a ROM for rooted devices that's become a pretty major player in the scene in the past few years. A component of Paranoid Android is Peek for notifications. And recently you brought Peek to a wider audience by posting it to Google Play for anyone to install on their devices. What have some of the challenges been in taking a chunk of a custom ROM like Paranoid Android that's intended for root users and making it compatible with non-rooted devices? And is it likely that we'll see more of this kind of extraction in the future?
Okay. Peek originally isn't for me. So this was a joint collaboration between me and one of the Paranoid Android developers and founders called Jesus. Mm-hmm. So one day I came up to him and I said, hey, there's someone who grabbed Paranoid Android's code for Peek and he's open sourcing it. So how about we work something together, my exposure and your work on Peek, because he's the original developer, and we work something out and we make a standalone app so that everyone can install the app. Buy the app, of course, to support us, because it's a major work. And yeah, we did. He did most of the work, like 80%, 90% of the original work, because I actually don't understand most of the sensor stuff, because this app uses a lot of sensors, and I'm not familiar with that component. So in the end, he did most of it because he was the original one. And with my exposure and obviously my ideas as well, we grew up and app is very successful. But I think he had a couple hard times because it's so deep in the framework that it wasn't easy. Let's start with that.
I can only imagine. And that actually, your answer kind of speaks to the fact that, you know, developers... Like we kind of tend to group developers into one big category of developers. But it turns out, you know, some developers are really, really keen to things like the sensors. Meanwhile, others like yourself are so deeply, you know, tuned into something that's so complicated and critical as the kernel. So not all developers are built the same, I suppose. Now, you've also been an incredibly active member since 2010 on the XDA developer forums. You kind of mentioned that a few minutes ago. How pivotal have the forums been to your success, and how important is it for other developers to maintain relationships through sites like XDA?
I think XDA developers was essential. Without the exposure, I wouldn't be here today talking to you, I guess, because they have such an amazing and big user number that you can reach a lot of people. And then from there, each user can talk to their friends and family and whatever. But mainly XDA developers was everything. So I guess thanks to them for building the forums and all the experience. So yeah, it was very important. I owe it to them, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an incredible forum. So many smart people contributing there. I don't know how many times I've gone to that site looking either for information or, you know, or a new kind of beta release app, or pretty much, you know, everything is posted there. So
yeah, everything is there. All the hackers, all the enthusiasts, everyone is there. So why not?
Yeah. There you go. Now, finally, you've been, you know, according to your Google Plus stream, anyways, you've been contacted by Google and by Facebook, as far as I could find, about job opportunities. And at least with Google, you turned it down, citing that you wouldn't have been working on the things that interest you. And for many developers, folks working on Android, getting a call for the mothership would be a dream come true. It takes a lot to turn down an opportunity like that. What was your rationale, and you know, what has that materialized in anything that we've seen yet, or that you have in the works?
Okay, so that Google stuff. One day, I was contacted by someone in the recruiting team. I had a call with him. I had an interview, and then he explained to me what were going to be the next steps and what they wanted me to work on. And I heard everything. And I thought for myself that I wouldn't want to be working on other projects other than Android. And actually working for a big company like that, you're just another one, just Yeah. Someone else that goes there and whatever they want you to do. So after I thought about it for a while, I told him that I didn't want to go forward. Because after that initial interview, I still would have to go through the technical interviews and all that stuff. So it wouldn't be guaranteed that I would go in because it's very hard. Mm-hmm. But I told him that I didn't want to go through because of those reasons. So, yeah, the Facebook thing, I was contacted out of the blue one day. I had a call with her. There's a girl. And the same thing as Google. So they wanted me to have more technical interviews, as usual. But then I would be working on the mobile part, so the Android app in London. But at the end, it would be the same thing. I had to work for others, do what others wanted me to do. And just another one. But to Facebook, I didn't say anything. I didn't say no or yes, because they give us like a choice. You can like study for months for the technical interviews. Mm-hmm. And if you feel you're ready, you can apply for them. So I didn't close the door. But I'm not feeling inclined for it, at least for now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, props to you for recognizing that what you bring to the Android ecosystem is pretty unique. You're certainly one of the few people that is known for creating this kernel that at least people would, you know, folks who have Nexus devices and are interested in unlocking kind of the potential of their devices by rooting and all that kind of stuff, recognize the Franco kernel and recognize the benefits of that. So props to you for realizing that and not becoming almost starstruck by an opportunity like that. But that's a testament to the work you do, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to get you on the show, because you do great work. So Francisco Franco, I just really want to thank you for joining me today on the show. Where can people kind of follow the work you're doing, follow you on social sites online? Where can people find your work?
First of all, thanks for inviting me.
You bet.
It's always a pleasure to be able to talk about the stuff I do instead of just typing on the forums on Google Plus or whatever.
I understand.
So people can follow me on Google Plus. Mainly, I'm very active. I'm posting what I do every day about Android or new updates for kernels for my apps. So Google Plus is probably the best way to get in touch with me, mm-hmm. to know what I'm up to. You can follow me on XDA as well. I'm in the Nexus 4, Nexus 5, Galaxy Nexus, all the other Nexus and the OnePlus One forum. So just make a post and I'll probably answer.
Excellent.
I guess.
And of course, Francisco Franco, you have an App Store page on the Play Store. So anybody can go to the Play Store and do a search for Francisco Franco. You'll find all of his apps there as well. Franco, thank you once again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty. And finally, we can't end the show without checking out one of the key apps to hit the Play Store in the past few weeks. That is what Hot to Trot is all about. What's Hot to Trot this week actually builds on an app we featured in a previous episode, but it's super handy on its own as well. Now, back on episode 1 of Android App Arena, I interviewed Chris Lacey, developer of LinkBubble and Action Launcher. He's been hard at work on a new app that he finally unveiled a few weeks ago. It's called TapPath. And at first blush, it looks like an extension to the functionality of LinkBubble, but it's actually a little more than that. Stepping back for a second, LinkBubble is an app that intercepts any links that you tap and opens them in a floating bubble so you can continue to surf while the content loads in that browser. We showcased that app on episode 2. One of the problems I've encountered with LinkBubble was that I don't always want my links to open inside LinkBubble. Sometimes I want them in Chrome or another app. TapPath aims to give users complete control over which app or action is performed when a link is tapped once, twice, or 3 times. That's 3 different ways that you can execute a link. So, for example, I have 1 tap set to open in LinkBubble, 2 taps set to open in Chrome, and 3 taps set to send a link to Pocket for later viewing. There are settings to get the tap delay tweaked to perfection, and you'll definitely want to take a look there. Without tweaking those settings, I found it pretty difficult to register my 3 taps. Now, there has been some criticism that this wasn't just built into Link Bubble as an extra feature, since it so directly seems to address a common problem with the app. But as far as I'm concerned, Link Bubble isn't needed in order for this 1-2-3-tap approach to be super useful. As a standalone app, TapPath enables anyone to customize how their system interprets those taps, making this a cool way to further make your device your own. And it's inexpensive at 99 cents. So check out TapPath for yourself right now in the Play Store. All right, and that is it for today's episode. Again, a big thanks to Francisco Franco for taking the time to chat with me on the show. Keep sending your favorite app submissions to arena@twit.tv. And also, actually, if you have any ideas for great developers to talk to, folks doing amazing work on Android, email those to me as well. I'll consider them for a future interview on the show. You can find us on Reddit to vote for your favorite apps in many different categories at androidapparena.reddit.com. You can search for Android App Arena in Google Plus to find the community there. Of course, you can download and subscribe to the show anytime by visiting twit.tv/arena. And don't forget to check out the live viewing party and developer interviews, if we have one, like we did today, on Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv, with the edited episode appearing in the feeds later that day. All right, that is it, folks. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Jason Howell. I'll see you next week in the arena.